Today we're going to be continuing in our series, Living Out Loud. And today is part one of Obey Four Big Spiritual Laws. Now these are big because I call it the Big Four. These are the big ones you need to know as a Christian. You need to understand that the law is, in the natural, is similar to a spiritual law. But spiritual law, you can't get away with it. You can't break it in the dark and expect to get it, you know, just like if you speed down a road, there's no cop to enforce the speed limit. The local ordinance, there's a law, say it's 50 miles an hour and you're going 65. You can't break the law and get away with it in the spirit. Amen. Because the spirit realm overrides, oversees, and overruns the natural realm. The laws of the spirit are the highest laws. God's word outlines and articulates spiritual law. Now, these are four big ones. And so we'll get into it. Let's look at Romans 3:7. Romans 3:7 says to us, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Everybody say the law of faith. That's law number one. Of the big four that we're going to be talking about. James 2:8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law, everybody say the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbors as yourself. You do well. So everybody say the law of love. So the law of love is the second law that you need to embrace, understand, appreciate. Now, the key here is that the law of love is the royal law. That means it's the highest supreme law. Law of love is really big. It's like big one. Okay? And then let's go to Galatians 6:6-10. Let him who is taught in the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for it is in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. Everybody say the law of sowing and reaping. So that's a big one. That is a universal law, the law of sowing and reaping. So we'll probably get to that one next week, and as the Lord allows. And then Romans 8:2. This is the fourth one of the big four. For the law of the Spirit, everybody say the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Everybody say the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ. Amen. So I believe, friends, that God wants our Father, Heavenly Father, wants all of us to increase, abound, excel as his precious children. That's a good place to say amen. Or say, I agree. Do you think God's a bad father? He wants you to live with your nose down on the ground, barely getting along, struggling, straining, stressing. Amen. That's not God. God wants us to excel, increase, but he's created laws. Now, these laws have to be obeyed. Just like you have to do in a natural sense, you have to obey the law. As a citizen of the United States, well, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, a citizen of heaven, there are laws that God has put forth, and he's kind enough and good enough to teach us those laws. He laid them out in his word. Now, there's certainly others, laws, kingdom laws, and principles in the scripture, but these are what I want to submit to you as the big four. the law of faith, the law of love, the law of sowing and reaping, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So our Heavenly Father is a good, good Father. He wants us to live in grand style that reflects his great goodness, kindness, and his love. He wants us to live out loud by showing the world how good and wonderful he treats and takes care of his children and his family. Through your life should be a reflection of I got a good daddy. I got a good Heavenly Father God. Amen? Jesus Christ even said in John 10:10, he came to help us to live and enjoy life and have it more abundantly. He didn't come so that we can struggle and strain and cry about life. He wants us to live a good life. That doesn't mean your life is trouble-free, but that means you're triumphant through all your troubles. Thank you, brother. That doesn't mean you're trouble-free. It just means you're triumphant. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. He shows you around like a trophy. Look at my triumphant child. Amen. God has provided exceeding great and precious promises and principles to practice that generate increase in our lives, that generate abundance, that cause favor and blessings to come into our lives. He has done his part. He put the law down. He put the principle down. He gave you and I exceeding great and precious promises. But it's up to us to obey these spiritual laws. We have to do our part. Everybody say, I have to do my part. Look at somebody next to you, smiling real good. Look at them in the eyes and say, you got to do your part. And then look at someone else around you. Look at someone else. Look at them real nice. Smile at them. Point at them. Show them your pearly whites. If your whites are not pearly, then pearly off whites. And say, are you doing your part? So God has spoken and released his good word of truth that operates as laws in the realm of the Spirit. And as we said earlier, again, just to reiterate, the laws of the spirit realm overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. So I think these are four big keys to really living out loud for the Lord by our increase, abundance, advancement for him and for his glory. Now let's talk about the law of faith. Again, Romans 3:7, what is boasting then? It excludes by what law? Of law of works? No, but by the law of faith. Everybody say it again, the law of faith. If you understand anything, we believe in faith. We are connected, hooked up with Rhema, and of course, the message of faith, the faith mandate. If you're around here long enough, you hear faith. Amen. Romans 10:8, 9, and 10, but what does it say then? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this is the law of faith in operational obedience. Believing with your heart, speaking out of your mouth, confession out of your mouth. What does it mean to believe with the heart? It means to believe with your spirit, not with your head. Head belief is head faith. Heart belief is heart faith. That is real faith. Faith is of the heart. It's of the spirit. Amen. So the principle is, it's got to be in my heart and in my mouth. Those are the two essential elements and avenues in which faith must function and operate. Amen. it operates in my heart and in my mouth. The heart is my believer. My mouth is my speaker. Your believer must be hooked up to your speaker. Amen. And he gives us a clue in verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. So it takes my mouth sometimes to get it into my heart. In other words, you've heard me say it, you can school yourself in the faith. Now that should make you jump up and down and run around this church. You can school, if you don't have faith, you can school yourself in the faith. How do? You get the word in your mouth to get it into your heart. You speak it into your heart. That means you build faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the quickest person you believe is hearing yourself. So the most important conversations you will have is conversations with yourself. You got to get the word of his promise in your mouth, then speak it into your heart, and your outer ear and your inner ear, when you speak, your inner ear is connected quicker to your spirit. It's tethered to your spirit. So when you say it, it goes, pumps right into your spirit. It's a scientific, psychological operation of the wisdom of God. He gave you an inner ear and an outer ear. So when you speak the word out of your mouth, it goes right to your spirit. Your heart automatically is a believer. Amen. So you can school yourself in the faith. Oh, that's exciting. I can run a rabbit trail right then, but I'm going to stay focused right now. All right, Mark 11, 12, 13. 12 through 14, 20 through 24. Now the next day, when they had come out of the Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. Came to it, and he found nothing but leaves. For he was not, it was not the season of figs. Now stop right there. Some people might think, well, why did Jesus even want something when it wasn't the season for figs? Well, the principle here, or if you understand history, in that region, when fig trees had leaves on it, they often had figs. So the leaves were representative that it was still blooming fruit, producing fruit. The fruit of figs in this case. And so he saw that it had fig leaves. But in response to it, and King James says Jesus answered it, verse 14. In response to it, Jesus said to it, no one eat fruit from you forever again. And his disciples heard it. They didn't just overhear it. They heard it. They heard him do what? They heard him talking to the fig tree. What should we hear you do? Talk to the not producing areas of your life. We should hear you speaking to stuff that's not producing. Stuff that needs to change. Stuff that needs to rearrange. We need to be talking to stuff. Money's made out of paper's made out of money, excuse me. And sometimes you got paper bills, paper expenses, paper things that come in the mail. You need to talk to that tree. Pile them up on your desk and talk to your bills. Well, praise the Lord. Now, here's a powerful statement. You just chew on it. You don't have to put it on the shelf if you're just kind of too heavy. But if you're not speaking, your faith is not working. If you're not speaking, your faith is leaking. Now let's look at the principle. Keep going. Now in the morning when they passed by it, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembered, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you curse has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, he didn't just say, boys, this is a deity trick. The Father taught me that eons ago. This is just for me and him. Y'all can't handle this. Y'all can't do this. Don't touch this stuff. No, he didn't say that. He said, have faith in God. And we know that phrase is not just that simple, but it means have the faith of God or have the God kind of faith. Now, do you have the God kind of faith? Yes, you do. We'll get to it in just a minute. I'm glad you asked. Verse 23, for surely I say unto you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, does he say you have whatever you think? No, he said you have whatever you say. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. There's a lot in there. Now, these are the principles of the law of faith. These are some of the most powerful teachings coming from the lips of the Master. You got to get this. Because faith begins by talking. Whosoever shall say. Now, again, we said that word say is the word command. Speak to. Direct. You got to say. But he didn't say to people. He said say to the it, say to the mountain. Mountain just representatives of something big or large or problematic in your life. An immovable or impossible object or thing. We understand what a mountain is symbolic of, right? So you have to say unto the mountain. So you got to think back. Okay, last couple of weeks, how many mountains did I talk to? That means you dial the mountain up, 1-800-MOUNTAIN, mountain. I'm talking to you. Amen? For some of us, it's a 210 local call. It's right in the backyard. So you just look right back in the backyard and say, mountain, I'm talking to you. Mountain could be financial. Mountain could be family. Mountain could be sickness or disease or something like that. Mountain could be a job scenario or situation that you just got into. Are you talking to it is the key question. Remember, if your faith is not talking, it's not working. Now, remember, your faith has to be strong enough to move your mouth because it will never be, and if it doesn't, it'll be never strong enough to move your mountain. You have a heart full of faith, it's got to be released through your mouth, through your own lips. In other words, the mountain needs to hear your voice. Not your friend's voice, not your parent's voice, not your cousin's voice, not your pastor's voice. Your voice is your address in the spirit. Your mountain needs to hear your voice. Has your mountain heard your voice? Now, so we think, well, I know about all this stuff. But knowing is one thing, but doing it is another. Because the enemy tries to do what? He gets you to shut your mouth. You got to break the silence. They need to hear you around the house speaking to stuff. They need to hear you. Your faith friends need to help you release your faith by saying, what are you saying about that mountain in your life? What are you speaking to that mountain in your life? Don't talk about the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Y'all thinking real good today? Everybody must be taking notes of being quiet. Amen. And he said, believe in your heart. You believe what? Those things which you say shall come to pass. That means you believe your own words. Because your believer is hooked to the word, and when you get faith in your heart, you speak it out of your mouth. You believe what I said, I will see. Some people want to wait to see before they say, but to see in faith, you have to say before you see. Don't say what you see, say what you want to see. Amen. You call that job in. You call that thing in. You call those things which be not as though they were. 1974, Hickory, North Carolina. Y'all heard the story before? Bears repeating again. Charles Capps, revealed by the Lord, had a visitation of the Lord. He said, my people are saying what they have instead of having what they say. In other words, it's easy to talk about the mountains or the mountain range in your life. But in other words, you can talk about the mountain, but Jesus said, talk to it. You command it to be removed. Faith works the same, listen to me, in any arena, any sphere, in any realm. in the healing arena, physical arena, in the financial arena, in the marriage and family arena, the principles are the same. That's why you need to understand the law of faith. You need to understand that I got to believe it in my heart and I got to speak it out of my mouth. But I can't just blab it and think I'm going to grab it. I got to have faith in my heart. When I speak, I'm releasing faith. I'm turning my faith loose. In other words, my faith is now working. A lot of times we go to work, but our faith is not at work. Or we're sitting at home and our faith is cuddled up in the, under the sheets with us, thinking gloom, despair, agony on me. Is your faith working every day? You might not be at work every day, but is your faith working every day? We put just some new confession just to kind of refresh everybody on that daily personal confession. We should be talking that stuff every day to get our faith working every day. It's just, it's another message, another notification coming from the app, another confession out there, and you got all these confessions and nothing's being said. Your mouth is not moving yet. Don't say what you see. Say what you want to see. Bold confession. Bold confession. Come on now. Bold confession. Amen? Yeah. Your faith should get it. Your faith in God should get it. Not you trying to get it. Your faith in God should get it. So let's talk about it a little bit more. See, first, there are some things that faith is not. Faith is not math equation where we follow certain pre-laid steps and get the exact results. Faith is also is not denial, blind denial of problems. Denial is a river in Egypt. You don't deny the facts, but faith speaks the truth into the facts, and the facts change. The fact is, I'm behind this much money. I need this money. You don't deny that fact. If you got negative bank balance, it's negative. Don't lie and say, well, my bank balance is not negative. Well, you're a liar. We need to cast the devil out of you. Amen. Even a little something like people get flu symptoms crawling on them. You don't say, well, I don't have flu system. I don't have flu. Well, your nose is running like an open faucet. You're sneezing and coughing. No, you say what the word says. You say what you want to see. By his stripes, I'm healed. I didn't say I'm healed because I look healed or my body symptoms saying I'm healed. I'm saying according to the word of God, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Come on now. Amen? You still wiping and using a box of Kleenex, but you say according to the word of God, I am healed. I am whole. Hallelujah. Faith is found in our actions and our attitudes. Because faith has an attitude. There's an attitude of faith. What is the attitude? I'm glad you asked me. It's an attitude of confidence. An attitude of confidence. Confidence in your ability? No, that's pride. Your confidence in God and his word. That means God said it. I believe it. That's done deal. It's settled. I'm stepping out on the aching void with nothing under my feet but the word of God. There's no physical evidence, but my confidence is in God and his word. Glory to God. And my actions is my confession. My act, the essential, it's not the only act of faith, but it is the essential act of faith. It is the first responder of your faith. You say, when a devastating thing, what you say is so critical at that point when something bad has happened. What you say comes out of your mouth determines what's in your heart. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. So if you can't say nothing, you need to learn the vocabulary of silence. Wait till I get in faith before I start talking. or don't be running my head and running my mouth out of my head thinking, I'm going to try to figure this out. This is logic. This is reason. And you got to bump your gums all the time. No, you can need to shut up and say, wait a minute, I need to get in faith before I talk about this or say something to this. Amen. Turn to someone next to you and say, learn the vocabulary of silence. That means don't speak your opinion, speak the word of God. You got nothing to say, say the word of God. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say glory to God. When we give, for example, we don't give grudgingly or cheerfully. But cheerfully. That's an act of faith. Because sometimes you have to cheer up in faith. You're sowing a sacrificial seed. And sometimes God will stretch you or he'll use the pastor. Give this. But don't frown up. Cheer up. This is another opportunity to act on the word. This is another opportunity to prove God's true words true on my behalf. This is another opportunity to see God's word come to pass in my life. Because he said, if I sow, he will multiply my seed sown. I don't want to throw my seed. I want to sow my seed. But if I'm frowning up, frumping up, and frustrated, you know, you disqualify. Amen. That's not a faith give seed. That's a thrown seed, a frustration seed. Amen. Amen. So it's an act of faith to cheer up, come to church. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. Sometimes you have to rejoice on Sunday morning. You might be crinking and crackling and knees popping, but I'm rejoicing. Hallelujah. It's not a feeling thing. It's a faith thing. I got to believe this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's day. I'm not going to go in there and pull everybody, be a wet blanket in church. I'm not going to be a crabapple Christian and come in and pull everybody into my vortex of victim mentality. I'm not going to stare at the screen when the singers are leading us in praise and worship and go, oh, my God, what is that? What song is that? No, I'm going to, by faith, praise the Lord. I'm going to, by faith, believe that my praise is working mightily on my behalf. Come on now, my worship is moving God on my behalf. Come on now. I don't know if we get out of this section yet today. In essence, we're telling God that we're grateful we have something to give. Even we know we're, after all, we're giving it away to him, he still takes care of us. Amen. Amen? And we're glad about it. We're glad to be a blessing to others. We're glad to be a benefit to the body of Christ and to the believer. Amen? So again, we said in Mark 11:23, the principles of the law of faith are the unalterable law of faith. Mark 11:23 should be highlighted or underlined or circled in your Bible. Can't write on your Bible, throw it out, get another one. Amen. And see, after telling his disciples in verse 22, have the God kind of faith, Jesus went on to explain what this meant. The God kind of faith is the kind of faith in which a man believes in his heart and says with his mouth, and which he believe what he that which he believes in his heart, and it will come to pass. It is, the sub-law is the law of confession. The law of confession basically articulates to us, and we learn that what we confess is what we possess. Our confessions rule us. They set the boundaries of our life. What you say is what you get, and what you've got is what you said. The words spoken yesterday are manifest in what your life is today. And we, Dad Hagen said it, I didn't say it, I just repeat what he said. And I think it's true with the Bible. If you're not happy with what you possess or have in life, check out what you've been saying. Amen. You don't check around the world and look, search through Google and figure out what's going on with me. No, you check 1 inch below your nose. What have you been saying? What have you been saying about your bills? What have you been saying about your body? What have you been speaking over your liver, your kidneys, your lungs, your pancreas, your heart? What have you been saying about your brain, about your eyeballs? Now remember, if you don't say anything, you lose by default. You got to break the silence. Now, see, this is a job, friends. You have to obey this law. And if you don't, if you try to avoid this law is still working one way or the other for you. You can't avoid it. You got it, it is an irrevocable law of God. Amen. It is an unalterable law of faith that we have to obey. We are children of God, and children of God says, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not, we're not supposed to be walking by our five physical senses. We're supposed to be living by from the inside out, from our spirit. With the posture, I'm believing God, trusting God for everything. Now, some of us kind of got away from that a little bit. I say that because, you know, it was true with me. You know, God has stirred me up. I'm stirring you up. Amen. You have to get back on your confessions. Get back on your working the word and letting the word work for you. When's the last time you worked the word and let the word work for you? In other words, it's like almost like putting, it's not blasphemy or heresy or anything, but it's like putting God to work. God says, I can do it. Put me to work. Faith is like a servant. You send it to work every day. Amen. Now let's listen to this. Brother Hagin was with a minister friend, and you know, Pastor Hankins tells this story. And he repeated it, and I liked it. It's a good lesson we get from it. The man of God was sitting in front of Brother Hagin, got an audience with him, and he's had the privilege of just sitting in with him because he knew the other guy. And the guy's complaining about his church, about every problem that he has in the church, his family, his situations, his finances. And so he's blah, 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 blah. My church is this and this and that and this and that, and he's just running his mouth. And he finally got his breath, he had to catch his breath, you know, because he's just running. He's just saying everything. And then Brother Hagin spoke up. And he spoke up and he said, well, you know, a man gets what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less. And the guy said, but Brother Hagin, this blah, 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 you know, blah, blah, this is going, this and that, this and that. He finally breathed, gave Brother Hagin a second. Brother Hagin said, well, you know, a man gets what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less. And here he goes again, blah, 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 blah. Finally gets to breathe again, and Brother Hagin speaks up again. Well, you know, a man gets what he believes for in life, nothing more, nothing less. And then he stood up and said, well, I got another appointment. Said, thank you very much, walked away. He said, he didn't help me. He didn't say anything. And him and Mark Hanks, he said, I wonder what he meant by saying, man gets police for in life, nothing more, nothing less. He said, I wonder if that meant anything, or can I get anything out of that? Well, of course. Everybody say it with me, a man or a woman gets what he believes for, or what she believes for in life, nothing more and nothing less. Now, you should write that down. Amen. Romans 10:12-3 says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith." Everybody say, God has dealt. Now, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved. You have been saved through faith." Faith takes, grace makes. Faith takes what grace has made. If grace didn't make it, faith can't take it. Grace made salvation available through the sacrificial and redemptive work of Jesus Christ, going to the cross, dying for our sins, being raised again on the third day by God, so that we can all receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. That's grace. You didn't have nothing to do with that. It's unmerited, unearned, undeserved. We deserved hell. But grace came and died on the cross in the person of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, glory to God. And grace made available salvation for us. You can't do nothing to earn salvation. Grace made that happen. But it's your faith that has to take salvation, has to believe and receive what grace has done. God, by his grace, has done this for us. Amen? So he said, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." What's the gift of God? God gave you the faith so that you can access the grace for salvation. How did faith come to you? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the word, and faith comes. It's not from yourself. Some people say, "Well, I generated enough mental telepathy or mental power and logic and belief that I grabbed it by myself." No, you didn't grab it by yourself. Faith came by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Hallelujah. That's right. Amen.
And God gave you the faith so you can access the grace, so that the promise can be sure to you to be saved, born again, washed in the blood. When that word comes to your into your hearing, faith comes by hearing, right? And so the faith comes with the hearing of the word of God. The preaching and teaching of the word manufactures, produces faith for salvation. If we talk about healing, by his stripes you're healed. There's enough faith, enough power in one verse to heal everybody in the church. Faith comes by hearing. It's a gift of God. And then Romans 10:17, well, I just read that one. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So in these verses, Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said that faith is given, faith is dealt, and faith comes. My goodness, friends. We could be sleeping under a bridge on a cardboard box, and we can get a hold of faith, and we can come out of there. Everybody should be coming up and coming out of their situations in life. It's by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Faith is a victory that overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our your faith is a victory, not your figuring problems out, not your getting things all analyzed and logically deduced. No. Your faith brings you out. Your faith will make you whole, just like the woman with the issue of blood. When she heard Jesus passing by, she came in the press behind him. Her faith was strong enough to move her feet and move her mouth. For she said, "If I touch but the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. If I touch." So her faith moved her mouth, then moved her feet, and moved her hands, and moved her through the press, and said, "I grabbed the man of God and touched the hem of his garment," and she felt in her body virtue come out of her. And Jesus looked around to see who touched me. Everybody's touching Jesus, but who's touching him in faith? You got to ask yourself, am I touching the Lord in faith? I can move the Lord with my tears and move the Lord with my emotions, but I only touch him with faith. God responds to my faith. Amen. Is this good stuff today? And so he turned around and told her, daughter, what? My power did it. This is a Jesus of Nazareth evangelistic ministry, and my power did it. My virtue did it. Did you feel that power come out of me? Come on, did you even put his hand on his ear and say, ha, that was my power. Ha, that was my anointing. Ha, that was my grace that's on my life. Ha. Hallelujah. I got to have fun while I'm preaching, okay? No, he said, daughter, thy faith, your faith, has made you whole. And if her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. And your faith can keep you whole. Are you listening to me? I'm getting you stirred up about faith. Believing and saying are the keys to faith. I guess we'll just cover this one today. John, sorry. And our faith practically operates through four channels. Let me give them to you real quick. We're about to close. The heart channel, the mouth channel, the action channel, and the public identification channel. Now, that's a big one, the last one. See, the heart channel is easy. You get faith, comes here in your heart. But then you got to get faith in your heart to a point to where you believe it, and then you speak it. Are you listening to me? Now, the action channel, James gives us a clue on that one, because it's acting upon the word of God. Corresponding actions of faith without what? Works or actions of obedience. Corresponding actions of obedience is what? Dead. You don't want to have a dead faith, because having dead faith is like having a dead Jesus. Nothing happens with a dead Jesus. Now, Jesus is not dead. He's a what? He's alive. So you got to live like Jesus is alive in your life. You do that by faith. Does anybody know that the Lord is working and living in your life? That's like dead faith. Then there's demon faith. Because he said the devils believe and tremble. That means it's emotional faith. It's head faith. I get excited in church, but out of church, I become an owl. No. I'm a drinking bird in church. Yes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! And you get all excited in church, but after church, when that faith test comes, you mute out. You close your mouth. You get the medicine. I mean, you get the sniffles, you get a headache, you say, where's the pills? Where's the medicine? Your first response is a response of flesh, not a response of faith. Now, you might have to take the medicine with it. If you can't just resist it full out and get it off of you, your faith muscles might not be strong in that area, because faith works in different areas. And so if your faith is not strong enough there, you better pray and profess with that medicine. At a minimum. Yeah. At a minimum. But then you can believe God, like Brother Copeland used to always say. He said he taught men of God when they go hunting and stuff and fishing, when they get around that poison ivy and oak and stuff. And so you can use your faith in any. Faith works for anybody. That's Mark 11:24. Whosoever. Everybody in this room is a whosoever. It didn't say whosoever shall have $1 million in the bank. That disqualify half of us. He didn't say whosoever has got a PhD. He said whosoever is anybody. And he said shall have whatsoever. That means anything. Any faith will work for anybody, and faith will work on anything. So they're out there hunting and fishing and running across poisonous plants and you know, ivy, oak, and all this stuff. And so one year, one guy broke out. But he said, Brother Copeland, I'm going to exercise my faith. He said, by next year, I'm going to be much better. And then by the third year, I should be totally immunized to this. And sure enough, he released his faith and believed God. And then second year, very little. Third year, nothing. He said, I can grab a poison ivy plant. Like that. And nothing. How is your faith? Where is your faith? Is it dead? Is it demon faith when I get excited when I hear it, but then I don't go act on it? Or is it dynamic? Like Rahab, the harlot, the scripture says, or Abraham, who acted upon the word of God. Faith is believing, speaking, and acting upon the word of God. Your act precedes his act. Are you listening to me? And then there's a public identification channel, which is a public arena. You know, many of you work jobs, and everybody ain't saved, born again. And so when they draw you in public, they say, oh, I heard this happen to you. You got the opportunity to be embarrassed. And remember, we talked about no shame. Remember the earlier message? No shame. And you can be embarrassed because the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, he who believes on me shall not be ashamed. Ashamed to do what? Ashamed to confess me. Confess my word. Some people say, well, you know, I'm just going to close it down. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about my faith because my faith is private. No, it's not. It's personal, but it's not private. Sometimes you need to speak up out loud and live out loud on work and say, God did this. I'm standing on the word of God. According to the word of God, they might think you're crazy. I already think you're crazy anyway. So just let them just prove it true. Amen. I'm crazy for the Lord. Amen. Somebody say, glory to God. Your family members put pressure on you, say, what are you saying about it? What's happening? Why are you always in this? You reply in the flesh because of pressure on your flesh, or you're going to reply in faith. You don't deny the problems, but sometimes you'll be drawn in a public arena where people will ask you about your pressure, ask you about your problem, ask you about your pain, and pull you into arena and say, what are you saying? Why do you explain this? Talk to us about this. And Jesus said, if you ashamed of me and my words before this wicked and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. He's the Lord and high priest over the body of Christ, and he's the high priest of our confession. We don't per se have a human priest that we confess to, but we have a high priest we confess to. Jesus is our high priest. What? Over things you say. So understanding how faith works is the most important thing. You might want to write that down. Understanding how faith works is the most important thing. And we should become proficient in the use of what should be normal for the believer, which is believing, speaking, and acting upon the word of God and a word from God, where God speaks directly to you. That's a rhema word. We have the logos word, which is the written word. The written word, you can grab all 3,000 plus promises and stand on them and appropriate them by faith. The law of faith dictates two things. Then we'll close. We must believe God for it. And secondly, we must believe it belongs to us because the word promises. Now, he's already given us an advance answer to all the promises. All the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. That means God says yes before you even ask. Oh, Lord, I see this in the word. Can I have that? It's already been yes. And so be it. Amen means so be it. So he's answered us in the affirmative. Yes, so be it. But you have to believe for it. That means your faith, you have to believe God. And because he's your source and supply. And then you must believe it belongs to you. In other words, you internalize the word and say, this belongs to me. Healing belongs to me. All of my needs met belongs to me. Amen? It's not theoretical. It's very practical. So you believe it, you speak it, you act upon it, by step as the Holy Spirit leads and guides you. Remember, friends, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6, and we are to live by faith and not by sight. So we must choose to obey the law of faith. Stand to your feet, please. Glory to God. You got to choose to obey the law of faith. Was this good stuff? Faith, friends, is to be our way of life, our manner of living. People of faith is who we are. And living by faith is what we do. That's our culture. We are a culture of faith, a community of faith. We are faith people of a faith God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.